Are you about ready to get things started there, Michael? KD0 CDQ, KY6V.
This is KD0 CDQ. Are you hearing me?
I am now, Mike. It's been quiet up to this point, though. Over.
Okay, I'll start with the first two paragraphs again. Welcome to the outreach program, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade their license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining what one should know for setting the extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. that's Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and again 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and either wish a refresher course or just like to listen, please connect to our SCORE server, either at EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, All Star Node AST 27404, here we go, DMR TG 314-5983, or D Star, here we go, XLX 004-J, or Fusion YSF XLX 004. That was a mouthful, letting it drop. The material being presented tonight, if anyone has any interest to know more about it, please contact myself, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at boip@southcars.com. That's Sierra, Charlie, Alpha, Romeo, Sierra, Victor, Oscar, Mike, Papa.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as the study material required and the manner in which you will be connected into the course. The material being presented for tonight is obtained from data from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at voip@scarsvoip.com. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email, again, at voip@scarsvoip.com. The session this evening is being recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. Letting it drop one time.
Well, I hate to say this, Mike, but your audio dropped off again on you. Over.
Okay, try it again. Please note that all our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in the class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our session. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? Okay, not hearing anything. I'm going to turn it over to KY6 Victor, over to Gordon, who will take it from here. He's in St. Lucie, Florida, and he'll start with a little rundown for you. Over.
Okay, Mr. Texas. Well, thank you very much, Mike. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the SCARS Extra Class course. This course will run from August the 9th to September the 8th. And we'll have two classes weekly on Sunday and Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on our SCARS server. The course is covering the new extra question pool effective July the 1st, 2020. If you have not registered for the class at this point, please do so by sending us an email at voip@scarsvoip.com. requesting registration that includes your call, name, location, and the email address that you prefer to be used. The students will be assigned a group of questions from the pool for study prior to the start of each class, and it is important for you to review these questions prior to the class so that any pertinent questions from you may be presented and discussed during the class itself. Let me recharge everybody's timer here for a second. Okay, all necessary information plus study material may be found on our website, again at www.southscarsvoip.com, and selecting the extra course found under the Outreach Corners section in the lower right-hand sidebar of the home page. So, let's get things started. With all that said, Kathy, K6SUN, would you please start with the first question of the evening from KY6V. Mademoiselle?
Well, it's my pleasure. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my first question is Echo 1 Alpha 02, and it reads, when using a transceiver that displays the carrier frequency of foam signals, which of the following displayed frequencies represent the lowest frequency at which a properly adjusted LCB emission will be totally within the band? And you have four choices. The first choice is the exact lower band edge. The second choice is 300 hertz above the lower band edge. C is 1 kilohertz above the lower band edge. And the final, which is actually the correct answer, D, is 3 kilohertz above the lower band edge. And once again, the answer to that first question is delta. The answer of 3 kilohertz is correct. A normal LSB signal has a bandwidth within 3 kilohertz, therefore anything closer to the band edge would produce a signal outside of the band allocation. So with that, I'm going to throw it out there and see if anyone has any comments or any questions before I throw it over to KY6C.
Comment, K2HA.
Go ahead with your...
Fred, go ahead.
Well, today I was working some POTA stations, parts on the air, and one of them was listed on the POTA website as broadcasting on 14.248. And nobody was responding to him. And he was calling CQ like crazy. But that's not within, you know, the 3 kilohertz. It's only 2 kilohertz. And so I think I'll send him an email. This is Fred, K2HA.
All right, thanks so much, Fred, and thanks for sharing that with us. KY6B, your next question is in that same range of E1 Alpha 05. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Interesting comment there, Fred. I'd send him an email, too. He might have saved a little face if he says I'm listening up 2 or 3 KC in the band. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're rolling to 1A Alpha, that is 05. And the question reads, what is the maximum power output permitted on the 60-meter band? This is an interesting question because the 60-meter band is interesting. Number one, it's different in the way that it's set up, and you have to sort of stay attuned if you're going to stay legal. So it says, what is the maximum power output permitted on the 60-meter band? The answers that are given here, A, 50 watts PEP, effective radiated power relative to an isotropic radiator. B, 50 watts PEP, effective radiated power relative to a dipole. C, 100 watts PEP, effective radiated power relative to the gain of a half wave dipole. And D, 100 watts PEP, effective radiator power relative to an isotropic radiator. So the correct answer here is C as in Charlie, which was the 100 watts PEP, effective radiator power relative to the gain of a half-wave dipole. Now, C being correct, the half-wave is the starting reference point and equals 0 dB gain. That's something to remember. This simply means that 100 watts is the legal level, and using a dipole with zero gain satisfies the rule for operation on 60 meters. Any questions on this, please, before we proceed?
This is K2HA.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, the calculations that I've been looking at suggest that a dipole actually gives you gain to the side, and maybe as much as 1.8, or between 1.8 and 2.2. If that's the case, then 100 watts out of the transmitter into the dipole with no losses would be over the permitted amount. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, I hear you, Fred. I can only say, sir, that in my experience, the dipole is considered the zero reference. It is the beginning reference point for any gain antenna. And they reference it to up the number of dBs above a dipole. You have a point there. I might say that it gets interesting between the difference of the gain of an isotropic DBI type formula and that of a dipole when looking at gain. So all I can say, Fred, is that you raise an interesting point, but if you're going to answer this correctly for the exam, you better put C as in Charlie over.
Well, yes, Gordon, I agree with you. The C is the answer. But calculating out exactly what the power is something that every ham is supposed to do. So find out what your gain is, and then you can figure it out.
Yeah, okay, friend. Well, thank you for those comments, sir. Let's see. Kathy, you're up next. Are you 1A10 maybe? Over?
That's correct. It's Echo 1 Alpha 10, and it reads, if an amateur station is installed aboard a ship or an aircraft, what condition must be met before the station is operated? Your choices are, its operation must be approved by the master of the ship or the pilot in the command of the aircraft. Bravo states, the amateur station operator must agree not to transmit when the main radio of the ship or aircraft is in use. Charlie states, the amateur station must have a power supply that is completely independent of the main ship or aircraft power supply. And Delta reads, the amateur operator must have an FCC marine or aircraft endorsement on his or her amateur license. Wow, that was quite a bit to read. So the answer is actually Alpha. Its operation must be approved by the master of the ship or the pilot in the command of the aircraft. Now the answer speaks for itself. The commander of the craft must first give his or her approval. This has just got safety practice and considers any interference to the craft's operating equipment. Any questions, any statements, please, before we move on?
NO70.
All right, NO70, go right ahead.
Well, good evening, Jack, and everyone at South Cars. Appreciate that. That's a good explanation. always check with the host, for sure. In earlier years, regarding the answers that are being provided, I have a question, please. In earlier years, I've heard the caution given during the class here that the letter of the answer on the test that we sit down to take might be different than the letter of the answer that we see on the study material that you're that we're using for the class tonight. Has that changed where the printed test will always be the same now as what the FCC released ahead of time that we're looking at now? In other words, could the letter of the answer change between now and the time of our written test? Thank you. KCSUN, NL7, over.
All right. It hasn't changed, George, from past years. That's why we always encourage everyone not to memorize the alpha designator. If they must memorize or look at something in that answer that gives them a clue, just to look for the answer itself, not the alpha designator. No, that hasn't changed. It's the same. All right. Thank you, George, and thanks for being here tonight. KY6B, the next one we move into is Bravo. So the next one is E1 Bravo 01.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I'm with you. Good question, George. Glad you brought it up because we try to hit that two or three times during our classes to warn everybody not to memorize by the alpha designators. Okay, we're going to be looking at 1 Bravo 01, ladies and gentlemen. It reads, which of the following constitutes a spurious emission? Interesting question. The answers that they supply, an amateur radio station transmission made without the proper call sign identification. And I'm going to tell you right up front that's wrong. B, a signal transmit to prevent its detection by any station other than the intended recipient. Bozo no-no, negative on this one also. C as in Charlie, any transmitted signal that unintentionally interferes with another licensed radio station, or D, any emission outside the signal's necessary bandwidth. Now that's the important part. Any emission outside the signal's necessary bandwidth that can be reduced or eliminated without affecting the information transmitted. Okay. Spurious emissions are something you want to eliminate or reduce as much as possible. These are emissions that cause interference to signals beyond your normal passband. So you may be there chatting on lower single sideband and your signal is 3 KC wide, and beyond 3 KC you've got some continued modulation of some sort. It can be hum, it can be scrambled audio, or it can be audio, but anyway, it is a transmission that you want to be able to get rid of, and you'll get called on this if you're caught on it. Any questions on spurious emissions, please? Over.
One comment, KG5 said I.
Hey, Tomasito, way up there in the north, what's happening, Tiger? Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, everyone. This question is quite interesting nowadays with all of the Chinese radios that are out there. I guess their quality control is not quite as good as the regular American. Now, I'm not a Chinese radio basher by any means because I have one or two. But I checked them. Spurious emission, if it's outside the 3 KCs that you're talking on sideband and it's above a certain level, you're going to interfere with other stations. And I believe, what is it, 43 dB down is what it has to be, Gordon? I'm not sure of that figure. But if you look at it on a service monitor, you can certainly see where it is. And 9 times out of 10, that Chinese radio is going to cause a spurious emission. So everyone needs to be aware of that. Over.
Excellent point, Tom. Thank you, Mr. Dayton, on that one. I think 43 is correct. It's here ringing a bell with me. I'd have to look it up to verify it, but it's certainly within that range. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we don't all have a $20,000 or more expensive spectrum analyzer sitting here in our operating position where we can check these things out. But there are ways to go about it that are a lot cheaper. And it's best to analyze your situation before you get burnt, I guess is the simple way to put it. Okay, thank you. Kathy, you're up. Echo 1 Bravo 08. Talking about the FCC again, it looks like. Go ahead.
All right, thank you so much. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and that's right. My question is Echo 1 Bravo 08, and it reads, what limitations may the FCC place on an amateur station if its signal causes interference to domestic broadcast reception, assuming that the receivers involved are of good engineering design? Your first choice is the amateur station must cease operation, and I will tell you that's not correct. Bravo is the amateur station must cease operation on all frequencies below 30 megahertz, and that as well is not correct. Charlie, the amateur station must cease operation on all frequencies above 30 megahertz. And again, that is not correct. The correct answer is Delta, which reads, the amateur station must avoid transmitting during certain hours on frequencies that cause the interference. Now, this answer, again, speaks for itself. Should you be unable to fix that problem, your operating time may be reduced. So with that, let me once again throw it out there to anyone anywhere who has comments or questions before we move on. All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to throw it over to you, KY6V, and we're still in the Bravo section. So Echo 1 Bravo 12, it's all yours.
Again, thank you, Kathy, and you're right, but we're running out of Bravos with number 12. It's going to be short-lived. I think your next one's going to be into the Charlie department. Okay, Echo 1 Bravo 12. Guys and gals, what must the control operator of a repeater operating in the 70 centimeter band do if a radio location system experiences interference from that repeater? Well, the first thing, I guess, you sit back and you say, oh boy, now what am I going to do? Answer A. Cease operation and make changes to the repeater to mitigate the interference. I'm going to tell you right now, that is the correct out of the group. The other four are incorrect, and briefly they read, file an FAA NOTAM, notice to airmen. C, reduce the repeater antenna overall height. That's easier said than done. D, all of these choices are correct. The answer is A. So, in some instances, if not attended to, this may consider a serious offense, and your license may be in jeopardy. So, if you run into it, attack it, do something with it, and in the long run, you'll probably be okay. Any questions on this, please? Over. Okay, Kathy, we've got you into Section C as in Charlie.
You're right. We've moved into C. Echo 1, Charlie 01, and it reads, what is the maximum bandwidth for a data emission on 30 meters. Your choices again are A, B, C, and D. A is 60 hertz, B is 170 hertz, C is 1.5 hertz or kilohertz, and delta, which is the correct answer, is 2.8 kilohertz. So once again, your answer is 2.8 kilohertz. And remember, those alpha designators will change, so don't memorize it by that. So to answer this question, FCC Part 97.303 reads, amateur operators shall ensure that their emissions do not occupy more than 2.8 kilohertz centered on each of these center frequencies. Once again, any comments, any questions before we move on? All right, Gordon, it looks like we have not many questions this evening, so you can take the next question, which is in the C section as well.
I believe I'll do just that. Thanks, Kathy. You know, going back on your last question, something to remember, guys and gals, is that, you know, on the 60-meter band, it's more of a channelized operation than a band of frequencies, okay? And each channel is reasonably small in bandwidth. And what's important when you get into a question like Kathy just gave you is that it specifically is saying to you that you should be in the center of that channel's frequency when you're transmitting and not allow your signal to be any wider than 2.8 megahertz. So if you think about it that way and put it all together, you'll ace that question when you get to it. Let me buy a nickel here. Okay, we're going into Echo 1 Charlie 08. Question reads, what is the maximum permissible duration of a remotely controlled station's transmission if its control link malfunctions? It stops. It dies. The answers are 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and 10 minutes. And the answer is 3 minutes. A way to remember this question is that if you have done any activity on 2 and or 440 type repeaters, you'll notice that most of those repeaters are set for a timeout of your transmission. If you exceed 3 minutes, you're cut off. I wonder where that 3 minutes came from. It came from this rule and regulation. So you can put two and two together and come up with 3 minutes as being the answer. Any questions on this, please? Okay, you're up to 05 in the Delta region now. Boy, we're really running here, Kathy. Go ahead.
That's right. We've moved into the Delta section, and I only have a couple more questions, but it's been a lot of fun. So my question is Echo 1 Delta 05, and it reads, what must be posted at the station location of a station being operated by telecommand on or within 50 kilometers of the Earth's surface? Your choices are a photocopy of the station license, a label with the name, address, and telephone number of the station license, and that was Bravo, by the way. Charlie is a label with the name, address, and telephone number of the control operator, or all of these choices are correct. And that's my favorite answer, Delta. All these choices are correct. So this is just part of the rules for the road. It provides a means that interested individuals have a way to reach the person in charge. So with that, once again, let me throw it out there for any comments, any questions before Gordon moves into the next section of Delta. Any comments, any questions? gee, KY6V, they have no questions for us this evening. So your next one is Echo 1 Delta 08.
Well, let's hope that means that just about everybody did their homework and got through this before we actually started to present it here tonight. Okay, Delta 08 in the Echo 1 section reads, which VHF amateur bands have frequencies authorized for space stations? Now, this is sort of an interesting question, and it could be argued a little bit, but, you know, the right answer that they want is the one you got to pick. Which VHF amateur bands have frequencies authorized for space stations? The answers are 6 meters and 2 meters. That is incorrect. B is 6 meters, 2 meters, and 1.25 meters, and that is incorrect. C is 2 meters and 1.25 meters, and that is incorrect. And D is 2 meters. Excuse me. And that is the correct answer. So, you know, there are no satellites operating on the 220 band. There are no satellite contacts operating on the 6-meter band, so that sorts a couple of the questions right out of the window to start with. There is a Texas two-step situation going on between two meters and 440, to be honest with you. Some of the satellites will take a uplink on 2, and they will downlink the actual repeated transmission on 440 and some of the other ways around. But nevertheless, the way the question is asked and the answers presented, there's only one that you can come up with fairly correct. And I can tell you this can be a lot of fun. If you haven't done any of this, you know, you can talk to a space station with a handheld. You put a handheld in one hand and a beam antenna in the other and point it towards where you think the bird is and have fun. And it works. Okay, any questions on this, please? Over.
NO70.
Hey, NO70. Go ahead, George.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Okay, well, having prepared try to look ahead to study for tonight's class, and looking at the questions right around the one that you selected there about the frequencies authorized for space stations, and I see it talks, Echo 1D07 talks about HF bands, which talk about 40 through 10-meter wavelength bands, the 40 and 10-meter being the wavelength, and then VHF talking about 6 and 2 and 1.25-meter wavelength signals, and then UHF talking about frequencies where instead of meters, it talks about centimeters, so of wavelength. So does that mean that the UHF frequencies have a wavelength of less than 1 meter? KY6V, NO70, over.
Well, if I understood your question correct, no, George. It means what they're trying to display in the questions here that are written in meters. As your example, you said less than 1 meter. Well, we know that 2 meters is the answer. So I'm not sure where you're going with this, but, you know, there's I'd have to go back and look at those other questions that you referenced. earlier and probably preceding this one. But I can tell you from experience, the satellite operations are specifically attuned on 2 meters and 440, and the other bands, particularly HF, are non-existent. Now, there's a lot of things that one can get into about cross-banding, okay? Now, we've dropped satellites out of the question there. What can you cross-band from and to? And there's regulations on that, too. So I'm not sure where you are, George. Maybe we ought to talk about this at another time. Over.
Okay. Understood. Well, I was thinking that 70 centimeters would be a wavelength. I guess I was asking the question more from a standpoint of like wavelength, where 70 centimeters, I would think, would be less than 1 meter long. But I absolutely understand that the point that you're making, that this is a question about space station communications. So, understood. Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate it. At KY6V, NL70. Over.
Yeah, things start getting pretty short when you get up 70 centimeters. I think a half wave is something like 6 inches, as I recall. Thank you, George. Let's see here, Kathy. Let's roll it over to you, if you'd be so kind. Echo 05, it looks like. Over.
Thank you. And actually, this is my last question for this evening, and I really like the question. It's Echo 1, Echo 05. This has to do with your passing scores. So what is the minimum passing score on all amateur operator license examinations? And your choices are 70%, 74%, 80%, and 77%. And actually, your correct answer is 74%. So in this case, it would be Bravo. This means on the extra course test of 50 questions, you can miss 13 questions and still pass. And you know, Gordon, with this, I think back to George and I when we were studying for our extra. He actually was so excited when he had passed his test, and I was still studying. And so when I came back down to Florida, or back down to home to take that test, I actually did fairly well. And that's about 9 years ago. So that's a long time ago for me. So with that, anyone out there have any comments or any questions?
I'll be for 7 Mike Romeo, not on this one, but the number one question.
All right. Good evening, Carrie. What's your question on the, I guess it's the very first question.
Alpha Echo 7 Mike Romeo returning. It's actually a comment due to the ability to take my station and contact those who have the older equipment. I usually try to stay 5 to 6 away from the edge rather than 3, because that allows any kind of drift for an older tube station, so that it doesn't drift out of the frequency. Just my take on what I do for my station. Alpha Echo 7 Mike Romeo, back to Matt.
All right, thank you so much, Terry, for sharing that with us. All right, before I leave for this evening, are there any other questions out there or any other comments? All right, I want to thank you, Gordon, for being my partner this evening. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this evening. And I ask that everyone keep me in your thoughts tomorrow as I begin my school year. I return to school, to the physical location tomorrow. So with that, Gordon, I'll throw it over to you. KY6D from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here tonight, pretty lady. you know, I was sitting back thinking about you and getting your extra. You know, I was there and saw it happen. When you said 9 years, thought it was a little longer. You've had a pretty good stead. You know, you've been with South Cars just about forever, but you've been, what, net manager now for, 10 or 11 years, something like that?
You know, I can't exactly remember, but I thought it was 2012, which would make it 8 years, a little over 8 years, but I could be wrong. But I've actually been a short, not a ham that long. A lot of the others are a lot longer than I, but I became a ham in 2008 and actually moved up the reins everyone pretty quickly. So if I can do it, I know each and every one of you can. So over to you, Gordon.
Yeah, good comments, Kathy. You know, all it takes is perseverance and stick-to-itiveness, guys and gals. You're going to accomplish anything you put your mind to if you just stay with it and make it happen. Okay, our last question for tonight is Echo 1 Echo 0 Niner. And it reads, what may be the penalty for a VE who fraudulently administers or certifies an examination? Oh, boy. Stand by. The answers that they give here are revocation of the VE's amateur station license, grant, and the suspension of the VE's amateur operating license, grant. And that's the right answer, A in this case. But don't use the A. Just remember the answer and match that to the question. Then they go on and say a fine of up to $1,000 per occurrence, and C is a sentence up to 1 year in prison, and D is all of these choices are correct, and we already know that A is the bacon. So A is correct answer. Bottom line here is you can get into a heap of trouble. Any comments on this one, please? Over. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll be putting together, we've recorded this session, and we'll be putting that in an MP3 format and posting it on our website in the extra question pool area. As I said, as a podcast here for this evening's recording. And we will do that for each of the classes as we go through the course here this year. And we'll try to have that out sometime by midday tomorrow. With that, we're going to say good evening to one and all. I'm very pleased at looking at the connected list here. A lot of, in fact, I think just about all of the gentlemen that logged in and registered with us is in attendance here this evening. Excuse me. Didn't hear from many of you, but I'm sure we will as time progresses. Good evening, everybody. We're going to return the server back to normal use and abuse. And we'll see you all downstream. KY6V is now closing the extra class course for this evening, August the 9th.